Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. Coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fon Miller, speaker on the broadcast. And we're going to talk about the subject, God is in control. We're going through some great trials and testings all across this land, actually around the world. We'll relate to that. But we want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 46, the first three verses, and Psalms 56, verses 3 and 11. We'll have a lot of other scriptures we want to go to, but those are the ones we'll start out with. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for Your love and Your goodness and Your care. We're so thankful that we have a God who is in control of everything, and nothing has taken You by surprise. As we think about this coronavirus, it's nothing that shocked You. You already knew it. And so, Lord, we just commit to You this situation, and we do pray that You'll bring healing to many, many folk. We do pray for these who are going through it, through the hospital stays, respirators and rest homes, and just everywhere, Lord, there are many, many people being attacked by this. And yet we know, Lord, You have the answer. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we would ask or think. And we pray that might be the portion. But may it also turn our hearts, the whole world, thinking about that God is able to do what He says He'll do. And as we look at Your word, help us to be more assured of Your working in our lives than ever before. We thank You for this privilege. May somebody be saved. May Christians be helped. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His word of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from.
Ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that no one ever cared for you like Jesus? It's true. It's true. He cared so much. And just this morning, before I came to do the broadcast, I was reading Isaiah 53, actually 52 and 53. And I'll tell you what, again, it touched my heart how much Jesus loved me and allowed himself to be so brutally mistreated, marred, or his visage so marred it was that he did not even look like a man. And yet he went to that cross and paid the price, hung on that cross for your sin and mine. And then he rose from the grave. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about God being in control. And I would ask you that question. Do you believe that God is in control? You see, God is in control of every situation on the basis of the fact that he created everything. I didn't say he created this coronas. I said he created everything. Go back to Genesis. I'm not going to turn back there now. I remind you, and you can write it down and go back and read it. Read Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and then read Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 19, and John chapter 1, first three verses or so, four. And just see, God is in control. God made everything. Now, it behooves you and me to look at the fact of Scripture in every situation. I would ask you in this, and we will be relating some of the things within coronas, but there's a lot of other things going on that we need to understand that God is in control. He's in control of the political environment. Now, you say, I don't think he'd want to have anything to do with some of that. I agree with you. But very seriously, he knows all about it. He knows every nook and cranny of the treachery or the factuality, whatever it is, he knows about it. But the Lord, knowing all these things, you and I need to realize that in every situation, it is he to whom we are to turn. It is he who alone is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And now in Psalms 46, look with you, if you will, in the first three verses. Actually, this entire psalm is 11 verses. It would do us well to just go through it verse by verse, but we'll not because we're trying to cover quite a bit of an area. But it says here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice that he is our refuge and strength. The refuge is a place that I can go in for protection. The refuge is like that fort. You remember? You look at the cowboy pictures, or you look at the medieval times. They had forts, and they'd have a moat around that fort, and it was there so the enemy could not get in. But then it goes on beyond saying that he's given me a refuge, a place I can hide, a place I can be secure. But he also is our strength. In other words, how am I going to get through whatever it is I'm faced with? Well, the Lord is our strength. If you're a child of God, God's made that promise to you. Now notice, God is our refuge, so the place for shelter, and our strength so that we can accomplish and do the work. The victory, like someone has said, the believer fights from victory, not for victory. We fight in the battle against Satan and against the ungodliness of this world because we are victors. Now notice it says, and a very present help in trouble. So God is on watch. Whenever I read that there, I think of the guard duty. He's a sentry. He's watching out. I served guard duty many times when I was in the service. And it was your job to walk that entire post, whatever section you were given. And you had to make sure that doors were secured. You had to make sure that nobody was trying to get in or out of some place that they should not have been. And you had to be on guard all the time. And that's exactly what the Lord is. He's on guard all the time. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's better than some of us who served on guard duty. I won't go any further than that. But some did sleep at corners or nooks and crannies where they could get to. But notice verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So he is saying God is the one who is there, and whether it be in the flood time, whether it be in things going on this earth, or even like the corona, which is going to spread around the world, and that's a complete subject in itself. But it's what he's saying is God is on duty. Look at Psalm 56 with me for a moment. And look at that first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, for men have swallowed me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Now notice that. He fighting daily. We have a daily situation going on. The enemy against us physically is fighting daily. The enemy does not slumber nor sleep, but God likewise does not slumber or sleep, and he's in control of it. He says, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now notice verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Today we hear a lot of things of fear. And yet we as Christians, I realize the world doesn't have this assurance. But what I'm saying, we as Christians need to set the example. Yes, I believe we need to follow some of the things that they have shared with us and said, you need to do this for protection. I don't think it's a violation of the scriptures, so I think we need to do that kind of thing. But by the same token, we must realize and we must set before others that we are trusting in the Lord and God is working. You see, beloved, there are many examples of God working and bringing people out of the situation that is puts them near death. Go with me, if you will, over to verse 10 and 11 of this psalm. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. I want to stop there a moment. When we're going through the trials and the testings that we are, or like down south where the tornadoes came through and people lost everything that they had, and we see that happening, we need to be willing to praise the Lord for his comfort, his encouragement, his protection, his guidance. Yes, even in the loss of things, for he is able to provide. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Now, he's saying, I'm going to put my confidence in the Lord. Why? Because he's the one that is in charge. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. Now, beloved, we're going to go back in just a few moments. We'll look at Psalm 62. That's going to be another one that we'll look at, and we'll spend time there. Probably won't get out of that psalm today, but I want to share a couple of things with you. We know the things that happen in this world. They may happen by the actions of the wicked one. For Satan is declared in Ephesians 2:2 to be the prince of this world, or the prince and power of the air, really. And then in John 12:31, he's called the prince of this world, as also in chapter 14, verse 30, 16, verse 11. So we need to understand that the devil, yes, is attributed the prince of this world. But you know, my Bible tells me that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So in other words, the God being with us, and we could take the time and we'll get there with some verses, but in Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul relates to these believers and challenges them there at Ephesus that God is with them. They are fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But God is with them. And I want you to know, dear friend, God's with you. If you know him, he is with you And he is willing and wants to help you through whatever the situation is that you're facing. And we need to understand that when we believe on the Lord for his guidance, his help, we will face negative things. And I could go, and I'll not take the time to go all over there, but in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, Paul talks a whole list of things that he went through, even though he was an apostle, even though he was being led to these places, he went through all kind of persecution. You take the time to read that in 2 Corinthians 11 and see how Paul describes the beatings and then the trial that he had physically in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. That thorn in the flesh, I don't know what it was. There's a lot of speculation. We'll not go there. But the point is that the Apostle Paul, a righteous man, a man of godliness, a man who loved the Lord, the Apostle Paul has gone through the trials, the testings of all kind of things, shipwreck, beatings, and everything else. But yet he said, "The Lord stood by me." In a thorn in the flesh, he had prayed to the Lord to get victory. But the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So I would challenge you, dear friend, to understand that God's grace, God's strength is with you. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 62 after we have this song. I trust it'll be a blessing.
No way, he works in ways.
What a great song. God will make a way. Now we're going to look at Psalm 62 for a little bit and see how God does that. And again, I want to read for you verse 1 of chapter 46, because chapter 62 is a great expansion of that verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice that. And we talked about that, so I'll not go back over it. But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But look at Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. Now, that word salvation there isn't talking about the salvation we have by faith through Jesus Christ. It is the deliverance that God gives us because we are his children. God delivers us. The word salvation can be translated deliverance, and the context denotes what it is talking about. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. But notice, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Didn't say I wouldn't be moved, but I'm not going to be greatly moved. It's not going to really get at me. He's going to take care of me. I can put my confidence and trust in him. Now, that, again, does not mean I can go out here and be foolish. I can go out here and do the things that would tend to cause me to contract, well, let's look at this coronavirus. I can go out and do some stupid things about that. So I think we take a little bit of caution. But that's not trusting the Lord. People get that idea sometimes that if I trust, or, you know, I may take vitamins. And if I take vitamins, they say, well, you're not trusting the Lord. Well, that's baloney. I'm sorry, but I think that's a Greek word. But you see, beloved, what we need to realize, God gives us a brain. In that brain, he has made it so that you and I can concentrate on facts that are going to be helpful. We can reason out situations and so forth. But God gives us the wisdom. He gives us the guidance. Now, he is my rock. He's a rock that I can lean upon. He's a rock that I can trust. He makes that comment in Psalms 18 and verse 12. Also again in verse 46. And I'll not turn back there, but you can jot those down and look at them. He is our rock. I often use the illustration about a rock. Years ago, when hunting with my dad and my uncle, we went to an area and there was this big rock. They called it Governor Dick because there had been a governor in our state, and he was a stalwart. He was a good man. And this rock was a massive rock. In fact, I've been there already when the winds were blowing, and you'd get in the crevice and you never felt the wind. It would rain and you could be protected from the rain. This was a rock that wasn't going to move, but it's a rock of protection. It covered you. It protected you when the deer came around. They didn't see you until it was too late. So the point is, it was a rock of protection. Then he is my deliverer. He's my salvation. He is my defense. When I'm in the midst of the battle, I can trust in him. The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so here the psalmist, David, is saying he is my defense. And certainly David knew a lot about that. He had Saul hounding him. He had Absalom hounding him. He had others hounding him. But he knew what it was to put his confidence and trust in the Lord. I think the great example of that is when he stood before Goliath. And he defied Goliath in the word of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And, of course, God brought him the great deliverance. So he says that he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Then how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall and as shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. In other words, you're not going to be very stable. tottering fence is one that if the cow goes against it or the animal goes against it, it'd probably fall over. It might be rotted off at the bottom, whatever. But he said, that's what the enemy will be like. So we can put our confidence in the Lord. And I believe in this time of situation, you know, we need to learn that he is the one that will bring deliverance. Go with me to Psalms 27. In Psalms 27, and we're going to look at verse 14. If I can find it here, we'll get there. Psalms 27 and verse 14. Again, this is David, and he's making his appeal or his plea to the Lord for his guidance, his direction. He said in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then verse 14, he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In other words, the situation looks bleak. It looks troubling. David is saying, wait on the Lord. Let God have control. Put your confidence and trust in him. And then watch him work. He will deliver his own. He will protect us. And may I say just this one quick thought before we leave the radio. You might say, well, I know somebody, a brother or sister in the Lord, and they went to be with the Lord. What a deliverance that is. To have gone to be with the Lord. So yes, he may go that way. I trust God will encourage your heart, strengthen you as you go into the Word of God and you pray and seek God's face for his blessing and guidance in your life. Father, I pray you'll take the Word and use it for thy glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd ask you to, if you would like to contact us, we could be of help to you spiritually. Contact us at WOT at WOTBM.org. God bless you.